Welcome to Burning Hearts with Pastor Michael Kraft, a ministry of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. Here's a preview of what you'll hear from Pastor Michael today.
I just feel like this is a message for everybody. Listen, be healthy, look the best you can, praise the Lord, you know. All of us need that message, that take care of the outward person, do what you got to do, but never let that be more important than what God's doing in your heart. Does that make sense? Gang, you know, I'm going to tell you something right now. Teenage girls need to hear that message right there. Maybe more than any of us. They need to hear that their identity, they are beautiful princesses in the kingdom of God.
Our society today can place a lot of emphasis on the outward appearance of others. As you listen to today's message from Pastor Michael, he shares with you the importance of emphasizing what's eternal and what's inward. God is not looking on the outward appearance of you, but what is truly going on in your heart. Pastor Michael encourages you to stay focused in growing with the Lord. Let those you love know that they are loved by who they are, not for what they look like outwardly. Now here's Pastor Michael in the book of 1 Peter chapter 3 with today's edition of Burning Hearts.
We're going to pick it right up in verse 1 of chapter 3. It says, in the same way, so again, he's been talking about submission. He says, in the same way, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that even if some disobey the word, they may be won over without a word by the way their wives live, when they observe your pure, reverent lives. So let me just stop here real quick. Wives, even if your husband is not a Christian, if your husband is not a believer, Peter is admonishing the wives here specifically. It's really funny, actually. He gives 6 verses here in chapter 3, all directed to wives, and 1 verse directed to the husbands. Doesn't sound really fair, does it? But he tells the wives very simple, very practical advice here. You know, and by the way, there are so many books that you can buy on Christian marriage, how to help in your marriage, how to help in communicating in your marriage, how to, you know, whatever. There are seminars that you can go to and DVDs that you can purchase and videos and all this stuff. There's so much information out there. You know what I believe? I believe that this book is really all we need. The truth is, people want more information. It's like, just give us a new book or give us something, you know, that'll teach us some new thing so that I can give to my husband so he'll be a nicer spouse or whatever. Just give me something. But I believe that the truth is that we don't need more new information. We just need to do what we already know. Does that make sense? Like, if you took everything that the New Testament talks about marriage, all that Jesus taught, all that Paul the apostle taught, and what Peter taught, and you put it all together, if you did that right now, I believe that it would take you about 3 minutes. There's not a lot of information there. There's some, but you find it's very simple, it's very practical, it's very doable, okay? So here, he's talking to wives. He says, listen, if your husband happens to not be saved, okay, he doesn't really need you to preach at him. You know what he needs? He needs you to live in front of him a radical, Jesus-loving life. Does that make sense? Just live it in front of him. Let your life be a test. You don't need to put little Bible tracts in his lunchbox, right? You don't have to play, you know, right when you're about to go to bed and it's romantic time. It's like, let's play K-Love. You know, that's not right. Don't do that. Live in front of them the life of purity and of love of Jesus. And listen, it doesn't guarantee your husband's going to accept the Lord. It doesn't. Every man, every woman has a free will, okay? And God, we can pray God soften their heart and be the hound of heaven. We can pray all those things and we can believe it, but I'm telling you, wives, and I've had it many, many times in our ministry, because more often than not, if there's one person saved in a couple, I'm just telling you statistically, it's usually the woman. And I don't know why that is. I really don't. when we see in Scripture, when a man comes to the Lord, okay, like in Acts chapter 10, I think it was Cornelius, when he came to the Lord, you see his wife and all his family all come to the Lord. And then in Acts chapter 16, the Philippian jailer comes to the Lord. He brings the guys home, remember? And then his wife and his children come to the Lord. More often than not, you see if a man comes to the Lord first, his wife and his children follow. But when a woman comes to the Lord, in our experience, I've noticed it's not the case as much. Sometimes it does happen, but many times, I don't know what it is. Maybe that it's that machoism, you know, if my wife found it first, then, you know, it can't be right. I don't know. Maybe that's it. But I'm telling you, there's encouragement to the wives that might be listening to this or here even now. If your husband's not a believer, you pray, obviously. Keep pounding heaven, man. Keep pounding heaven. But also live in front of them. Live in front of your kids. I've seen God do some miracles. People that a wife did this for 15, 20 years, and then finally her husband got, you know, something usually shook him up pretty good, and he came to the Lord. So just pray and keep going for it. Amen? Let's look at verse 3. Don't let your beauty consist of outward things, like elaborate hairstyles and wearing gold jewelry or fine clothes, but rather what is inside the heart, the imperishable quality of a gentle and a quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Okay, let's stop here. This is really weird to talk about in 2021, okay, with the women's lib movement and everything, and then talking about what we're supposed to wear and everything. I mean, we obviously don't care too much about outward appearance anymore. But in this time, in these days, the men wore robes, grew pretty much big beards, didn't really care what they looked like. I'll just be honest with you, they didn't care as much as today. Today, man, we care about the biceps and the tan and the wardrobe and stuff. Men do a little bit more than they did back in Jesus' day. The women, though, still kind of the same, their hairs and things like that. So Peter's not saying, women don't have a good hairstyle. He's not saying that. He's not saying, as some of our Christian brothers and sisters, they say women shouldn't wear makeup, and they use passages like this, women should have dresses down to the ground, and you know, whatever. God bless them, and I know we'll probably be in heaven with those folks. Praise the Lord. But that's not what Peter's saying here. Peter's saying, don't put the outward appearance above the emphasis that you should be putting on the inward appearance. Does that make sense? It is a pure and gentle spirit that is that makes somebody, how does he say it here? It's of great worth in God's sight at the end of verse 4. Gentle and quiet spirit, another word for that is meek. Some older translations, King James Version, New American Standard, talks about meek, being meek in spirit. He's describing a woman who is centered, a woman who is grounded in the Lord, who knows what she's about, and who has a godly perspective, a Christ given identity. She finds her identity in Christ. This is of great value to God. He doesn't give a flying rip about your jewelry or your hair, is what Peter's trying to say. Concentrate more, especially those of you that are trying to witness to a family member like a husband. Your inner person is what is of most value. I think heaven is going to be completely different than this world. The people on this planet who are the celebrities, who are the famous ones, the good-looking ones, more than likely, when we get into eternity, they're going to be the insignificant ones, maybe the ones that aren't even there. But the ones who were probably considered insignificant here in heaven, I believe, are going to have a great place. They're going to be a great value placed on them. The unattractive people, the unimportant people, the people that were looked over, will be beautiful in heaven because of their inner person. They worked on that. For the next billion years, no one is going to care about your hair or your tan or your wardrobe. They're not going to care about that. All that's going to matter is what you cultivated here on the earth, a gentle and a quiet spirit. So I know that Peter's ripping the women here and he's coming down on the women, but this is obviously good advice for anybody, men too. Man, I cannot, because in 2021, you see people do care more about our looks, our hairstyles and our wardrobe and our, you know, all that stuff. So I just feel like this is a message for everybody. Be healthy, look the best you can, praise the Lord, you know. All of us need that message that take care of the outward person, do what you got to do, but never let that be more important than what God's doing in your heart. Does that make sense? Gang, you know, I'm going to tell you something right now. Teenage girls need to hear that message right there. Maybe more than any of us. They need to hear that their identity, they are beautiful princesses in the kingdom of God. As a daddy of two daughters, I feel like I've had to minister to my daughters as they were growing up when a boy or somebody would say something so cruel about their acne or their weight or whatever. And man, if you know, you could tell a teenage girl, well, you know, Jesus loves you on the inside. You know, that's not what they want to hear at that moment. I think it starts from very, very young, pushing and showing the beauty that God sees in all of us. Forget about the skin color. Forget about the weight. Forget about the hairstyle. Jesus loves you for what's going on inside. Amen? And that's a message for everybody, I believe. Okay, let's go to verse 5. For in the past, the holy women who put their hope in God also adorned themselves in this way, submitting to their own husbands. So Peter here is drawing his audience and thus us, their attention to, I believe, Old Testament heroes of the faith, women of the faith, okay? And in the next verse, he's going to mention one specifically, Sarah. But he talks about other holy women, and I was just thinking about this week. What other women do we know that were in the Old Testament that were beautiful on the outside but cared more about what they looked like on the inside? And the first person that came to my mind was Ruth. If you know the story of Ruth, right? I mean, we know she was beautiful. She got Boaz's attention. But the truth is, what was Boaz really attracted to Ruth for? Not her outward appearance, but the way that she was giving to others and caring about the poor and other people. Does that make sense? And he's like, man, she's a babe. Like, that's what I want. I think of Rachel. The Bible says that Rachel was extremely good looking, pleasing to the eye. And yet when you read the story of Rachel and she married Jacob, Jacob had a rough, dark life. That dude messed up a lot. And yet Rachel was by his side the whole time. And you see this woman who's beautiful on the outside, but apart from the very beginning of her story, the beauty's not mentioned anymore. It's just the fact that this woman was a woman of God that stayed with her husband who was kind of messed up a lot. Does that make sense? So I think Peter here is using these guys as an example. And now he's going to go on and he mentions Sarah, Abraham's wife. So verse 6, he says, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. You guys hear that word a lot in church, Lord. My wife has never called me Lord, which is something that I hope she gets tonight. I hope she gets this. If nothing else, no, I'm kidding. Lord is basically you're the boss. You're the one calling the shots. What? And it's a lowercase L. It's not an uppercase L. But that's when we call Jesus Lord, then we're saying you're the boss. You're the one that makes the decisions of my life, not me. Well, it says that Sarah called Abraham Lord. You have become her children when you do what is good and do not fear any intimidation. Okay, so let's talk about this. He's using Sarah from Genesis. By the way, Sarah was a babe. She was super duper groovy and foxy looking. Okay, and I don't know, maybe you don't think of Sarah that way, but the Bible tells us two times when the king looked down and saw her and was like, I want her. And what happened is the king would want her, and so Abraham was afraid that he was going to get murdered because his wife was so hot that he actually lied to everybody. He did it twice, where he lied and said, well, she's my sister. She's my sister. Now, it's so funny because when you read that story, ladies, tell me, if your husband did that, how would you feel about that?
It's like, well, yeah, go ahead and sleep with her. She's my sister.
No, honey, I'm your wife. Please tell them. Okay, but because Abraham was a wimp, because Abraham was looking out for his own interests, so there's my point, Abraham messed up. He made mistakes. The guy wasn't a perfect husband. And yet Sarah is used as the example here of someone who adorned herself. She was beautiful on the outside, but that's not what we remember about her. She stayed with this creepy husband, to be honest with you. Yeah, Abraham, the father of the faith, the friend of God, I understand. But the dude made some problems. He made some mistakes, is what I'm saying. You with me? So Peter's using her as an example. Why? Because of the way that her, if I can say it this way, her insides were better than her outsides. Right? Man, may that be said of me, that the guy was way better on the inside than he was on the outside. And it's funny because Peter says here, you become her children. In other words, all you women, in the context of ladies, he's saying, ladies, if you'll be like this, you can be totally a babe on the outside. But if you're not, if that doesn't consume your life and you're more interested in the woman that God's making you on the inside and the light you're shining, you're going to be exactly like Sarah. Even when your husband blows it and your husband messes up and everything, you can be someone that's righteous. And it's funny too, because it says you have become her children when you do what is good. Literally what he's talking about there is doing something good for others. He'll talk about it again in a minute. But that idea is you're not doing good for yourself. It's doing good that helps the community or helps other people. When you live like that, people notice it. And you do not fear any intimidation, it says in my translation. That's an interesting line. You won't fear any intimidation. I do think, especially young ladies in our culture and even in this culture, are intimidated by the commercials and by the models and by the magazines and by the billboards and everything else, and they're intimidated. But when you are a woman or a man, by the way, who says, I care more about what God's doing in my heart than anything else, that stuff doesn't intimidate. There's no fear there. So here we're ending the six verses that were towards the women. The word submit was used a couple times. You talk about submission today and people don't like it, especially with the women's movement and everything. Let me say, there's submission all the way through 1 Peter. We are all called to submit, okay? Matter of fact, and elsewhere in the Bible, it says that we are to husbands, in the context of husbands and wives, that we are to submit one to another, okay? So that submission is not, you know, some guy, because I can't tell you how many times this has happened where some man will come up to me, and I'm having a problem with my wife, she won't submit. And I'll be like, yeah, because you're a donkey. Why would she submit to a donkey? I don't understand. You know, do you think just because that verse is in the Bible that it gives you permission to be a jerk? That is not okay. You know? So I really believe that you have to be really careful with this idea. We submit to each other, but also there are roles, and we could talk about that. I do believe God has made men and women different. Okay? This whole controversy right now with this man who is competing in the women's Olympics weightlifting. Have you seen this? You know, because he's a transgender or whatever, and they're letting him be in the Olympics. You know what? And I've been reading a lot about it. If I were a woman weightlifter, I would not be in the Olympics. I would boycott. I'd be like, this is ridiculous. This dude won awards as a man, and he's, you know, anyway, I'm getting on a soapbox. I'm sorry. It's weird when you start talking about gender and roles and things like that, but I'm going to tell you right now, I believe that it's in Galatians chapter, I think around verse 28, where it says, in Christ, there's not Jew or Gentile, there is not slave or free, there is not male or female, but we're all one in Christ Jesus, it says. So, women and men, in spiritually with the Lord, man, we are equal. No one's greater. Okay, I'm just telling you that. But it's ridiculous to say that God didn't make us differently. Very, very important. Okay, now we get the husbands. Verse 7. Husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with a weaker partner, showing them honor as co-heirs of the grace of life so that your prayers will not be hindered. There is a lot in that verse. Let me start with this. Husbands, in the same way. Live with your wives in an understanding way. That idea of living with your wives, we say, well, of course I live with my wives. We're in the same house. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about you are alongside them. The Greek word is para, but it's I'm coming alongside her and I live in an understanding way. That's interesting, right? Let me tell you what most men are like, and I'll pick on the guys here. Most men are fix-it guys. Like, if Kelly starts telling me something, I'm ready to fix it. I go, honey, oh, you can stop talking. I know how to fix it. Just be quiet, and I'll tell you how to do it. Well, this is what you need to do. Kelly loves when I do that. She loves it. It's like, yeah, honey. Because and I remember one time she told me in tears, she's like, I just want you to listen to me. I don't need you to fix me. Right? Wives, anybody know what I'm talking about here? Okay. Guys, we're in that mode of not really listening and understanding. As a matter of fact, a good marital counselor, any marital counselor, a good, what to me separates them, good from not a good one, is one who will listen to you, but also will work on the husband and wife's communication with each other. Because more often than not, the issue, it could be finances, it could be mother-in-law, it could be whatever, fill in the blank. But when you really boil it down, you start seeing the communication stinks. And so a good counselor will look at that and say, okay, you're not hearing what your husband's trying to say to you right now. So I'm going to repeat what he's saying. Da, da, da. Does that make sense? Living in an understanding way. Kelly and I do this thing, and we've done it because we went to a seminar and we learned it. But back in the old days, when you went to McDonald's, you would drive up to the, we call it drive-through talking. You drive up, and now they have a screen, and you, everything you say gets put on the screen. You guys know what I'm talking about? But before that, what did they do? They say, I'd like a Big Mac, large fries, and a medium chocolate shake.
Okay, we've got a Big Mac and onion rings and a vanilla shake.
No, I'm sorry. Let me say it again. I want a Big Mac, large fries, and a large chocolate shake.
Okay, we got a Big Mac and a large fry and a large, is that a, did you say a large chocolate?
Yes, a large chocolate shake.
Okay.
You know why McDonald's did that back in the day? Because they were losing millions of dollars because of miscommunication. People would drive up to the second window and they would get the wrong thing and they'd be ticked. And then, and so they were losing business and people were mad and they were losing food. And so they said, we got to start, you, if you're, I don't care how old you are, you're 14 years old or however old you have to be to work at McDonald's, you repeat what the stinking person says and you make sure that they say you got it right. Now they've upped it and we've got the screens and you can see everything. Why do they do that? Communication is key, right? Right? So Kelly and I, this is what we do when we're having a tiff. Happens once every 12 or 13 years. I have to stop myself from fixing and I have to listen and I have to say, Kelly, you can do this with me because we do this all the time, but what do you hear? What did you just hear me say, Kelly? I just talked for 2 minutes. What did you just hear me say? Well, I hear you say that you think that this should happen and this should happen. I'm like, okay, no, that's not what I said. I'm sorry, you said vanilla shake. I said chocolate. Let me say it again. And I say it again. Now, what did you hear me say, Kelly? And I don't say it like a pompous jerk like I'm saying it right now, but I just say, what do you hear me say? And she'll say, well, I hear you saying this. And I'll say, that's right. And then she'll talk and she'll say, Michael, what do you hear me say? And I'll say, well, I'm hearing you say that, you know, I'm a pompous jerk. She goes, oh, yeah, that's really correct. Okay. So at the end of our conversation, it's amazing how drive-through talking has saved a lot of our argument. I'm not even joking with you guys right now. This is a serious tool that you can put in your toolbox that'll help you. And I believe it goes with live, men, husbands, live with in your wives in an understanding way. You need to try to understand them. Sometimes they're just hurting. Sometimes she just needs to talk. I remember one time I was driving home. This is in outside of Kansas City. And I'm driving home from church, from work. And I passed a garage sale and there was a treadmill. And I stopped and I pulled over and I bought the treadmill. It was $40. And I thought, $40 treadmill, this is awesome. And I had a little truck. So the guy helped me put it in the truck and I went in. I coasted into our driveway and I lifted up the garage real quietly and I got the thing out and I rolled it into the garage and I plugged it in. And then I went upstairs and I'm like, Kelly, I got you something coming downstairs. I'm so excited. And she's like, why would you get me? Ah! So she comes down the stairs and we go in the garage and she looks at the treadmill and starts crying. Like not happy tears. I'm going, what? What did I do? You think I'm fat? It's like, no, I don't. And no, that's why you always say stuff. I should go for one. And all of a sudden, it turned into this big deal. And all I did was buy a treadmill. And I realized later that how she interpreted that was not how I meant it. Does that make sense? Miscommunication.
Suffering is part of living life in this broken world. It's true for everyone. At some point, all of us will face some kind of hardship. Those who believe in Jesus aren't exempt from pain. That's made clear in God's Word. But the Apostle Peter has been teaching you through his first letter that there's a different way to react when the stress of life takes hold of you. You don't have to crumble, and you don't have to retaliate. Take comfort in the knowledge that God knows exactly what's going on, and He's there with you. He's your strength when you think you can't hang on any longer. and the hope you hold on to when everything seems lost. Have faith in your Creator. He will come through for you, as He's done throughout history. Are you facing a trial today? If so, we here at Burning Hearts would be honored to lift you up in prayer. Please submit your prayer requests online through our contact page at thealpinechapel.com. We'll get in touch with you as soon as we can. If you're in the Telluride area, come join us this weekend for worship at the Alpine Chapel. We're located a half block off the main drag in Telluride and just a block away from the gondola. Join us for a time of worship and studying the Bible on Saturday at 6 p.m. or Sunday morning at 9. For more information, just visit thealpinechapel.com. While you're there, you'll also be able to check out more of Pastor Michael's teachings from this series in 1 Peter. Again, that website is thealpinechapel.com. That's all we have time for today. Thanks for tuning in for this edition of Burning Hearts.